sources tell CNN that
almost unheard of weather as we approach mid-June. We keep it in the low 90s for the next 2 to 3 days, with maybe even some clouds and sprinkles north and east of town. 95 by Friday, and then we gradually approach the century mark over the weekend. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 86 degrees.
Free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you can find a list of past guests, download those interviews, see who's scheduled for upcoming shows, and if you're listening live, you can see the call-in numbers. We're joined this evening, June 8, 2009, by Welton Myers, who I consider to be one of the grandfathers of the free energy movement and a dear friend and associate. Welton is the one who got me involved in the free energy research 8 years ago. While it's hard to validate all of his stories, he's been involved in several very amazing projects, including magnet motors that levitate, patterned after John Searle's work, over-unity electromagnetic systems of Vager output. He also had significant brushes with the GEET technology, tire vaporization, Brown's gas, and Stanley Myers technology. He knew several of these people firsthand. He stayed at my home for a while back in about 2002, and I'd hear him telling his stories to people on the phone over and over. While there might have been a little exaggeration, I found Welton to be an honest person. And what he's described has been verified from a number of different sources since that time. He's truly a man far ahead of his day and as vigorous as could be, even past 75. Welton, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you, Sterling?
Well, doing good. It was fun touching bases with you again earlier today, and hearing your stories. It's pretty amazing the things you've been involved with. I pulled together a little feature page about you over at PES Wiki in preparation for the show tonight. And there's no way we'll cover everything you've done tonight. We might touch on a few things. But you know, the story that has me, I find to be one of the most interesting, is the work you were doing with John Searle's generator. Maybe you can tell us about that. And by the way, I'm calling tonight's show a fireside chat with Welton Myers. So this is a little different than the typical technology discussions that we have on this show, where we go into one technology in depth. We're going to be covering quite a few things. This is going to be a dabbling in a lot of different things that Welton's done through his lifetime. He's really a man of great accomplishment. He was involved in Habitat for Humanity, founding that long before he was involved in energy, was at Cornell University, etc. But that is not a lot of importance to him now, that he's way outside the box in a lot of different ways. Let's talk about that Searle effect generator that you were involved with.
Yeah, that was, we started that in basically over 50 years ago, and I don't want to give my age away, of course. You only got close to it. But basically, we started out basically trying to make a magnetic motor similar to the one that you and I were talking with about the people from South Africa.
The pyramid motor, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a magnetic motor, and it had a rotor, and it was wound in a particular way so that it would be driven primarily by the magnetic forces with a very little input of electrical energy. And primarily it was similar to the South Africa, where we had some stationary permanent magnets, and we had electromagnetic ones that were very primitive because we had no computers, and we had to time all the things with mechanical devices. But anyways, the device, when we worked many months on it, selling research stock to plumb it, and a lot of people were interested. But we just weren't able to get it going. But my friend Bill, who's passed away now, Bill Cope, was, I also believe, one of the pioneers of our time. When he went to London and England and visited with John Searles, and we learned a little bit, but very little, because John was very secretive and holding to him his magnetic motors that drove his, basically his flying saucers. And they did fly. Bill came home, and Bill was one of the most honest men I ever met. And when he described them, I know full well. I didn't see them, but I know they hovered. He had automatic remote controls on them. When he came home, he brought with him a Tesla technician. He spent time with us and rewired ours, and within days, he got them to begin to work. But much to our surprise, they began to have anti-gravity effect and begin to rise up. And we found out later that was caused by something else. Many years later, we found out what the cause of that was. And we did find out that it correlated with what John Searles was doing. But again, we didn't find that out until a long time later. But anyways, we had a lot of problems. Actually, we tried to stop it from going through the ceiling. I jumped on one side, and this Tesla technician jumped on the other side, and we tried to hold it down, but that didn't work. And I couldn't hang on. I didn't have a good grip. And when I fell off, it twisted upside down. When the Tesla technician was hanging on to the bar that held the magnets in place, and it pulled out the magnets, and it dropped. But we shut off all the electricity to it, so it should have shut down by itself. But actually, because of the, after a while, when you begin to bring in energy from another source, and that's what we were really doing, that was causing it to go out of control. So it wasn't just a magnetic motor. It actually had become an electron extractor that draws energy from another dimension, or zero point, or the cosmic energy, the vacuum. There's so many names for the same place. So anyways, it wasn't very long after that where we solved the problem so it wouldn't fly on us. And we suddenly decided, we're really ready to manufacture, because we can't afford that research stock. So we put an announcement out to our brokers and called them and said, sell our manufacturing stock. We can't afford to sell any more research stock, or we won't even own our own company. We did, and the very next day, in fact, we were raided by guys with masks and automatic weapons. If I had been there, I probably would have been dead, but they put a gun to the head of our Tesla technician and took his green card and said, if you don't get out of town real quick, you and your family will be dead. I didn't see him again for many years, and when I did, he'd been injected with something that gave him so much Alzheimer's he had forgotten everything he ever knew. And I believe I'm not the only one that's had similar type experiences.
That's quite a story. I'm glad that we've finally got that documented on tape, and people that can listen to this. This is one of my favorite stories all time. Let's talk about your Robert Buck Over Unity electromagnetic generator.
We did try to replicate this same experiment later, with carrying it one step further, since we had now realized that we had tapped into an unknown source of energy. We call it alternate energy, maybe, because my company's name is Alternate Energy Systems Incorporated. But anyways, the alternate energy that we began to tap, we focused on just that. And Robert Buck was, a partial genius. I think we're all partial geniuses if we tune into the cause, our creator. And I think all these things come from him, not from any of us. So claiming a genius is probably erroneous, but to say we tap in is better. But that machine had a double rotor. As the rotor went around, it would be a magnetic motor. We never used that side of it. Primarily, we used it now to extract. And as it rotated, it created a vortice of energy, which would crack into this other dimension. Then you'd have to have various frequencies to pull out of that zero point the subatomic particles that you want, which were primarily electrons that we were after. But there are many things in that alphabet soup of subatomic particles that I believe are there, and if you don't have the right frequency, you may get the wrong stuff, like gamma rays or some other subatomic particles that come from the solars, the various suns that are constantly emitting these, all these breakdown of atoms that now settle into this other dimension, or which now we were able to tap. But unfortunately, that unit, when we got it, you have to run the rotor about 4,000 RPMs, and when it gets to that point, it begins, you have to frequency, but we were bringing out something else. We don't know what. It's impossible to know what's there, even. We don't even know all the parts that are in an atom. But anyway, whatever we brought out, it was interfering with our controls. In the beginning, we'd put in one unit of electricity and get out 50, but as soon it would go, it speed itself out, we'd lose control of it, and the next thing, again, it was similar to our old experiment many years ago, where we couldn't control it, and it began to melt down wires that were 1 inch in diameter, and it burn up to melt down these switching devices that cost us $10,000, so my little bit of money disappeared in a real hurry. And that happened just a couple of years ago. Well, longer than that now, time seems to fly. But Robert Buck now passed away, and he took with him some of the things. And I'm not sure he knew all the interest. We found other inventors that Sterling is aware of, which we don't really divulge at this time, particularly for their own health and safety. But they have worked with Robert, and they think they have found a way to control that. And so that device is still on the very verge of coming forth.
So that technology still has people working on it, and we may yet see that?
I hope so. I pray so. I think if we all pray together, we'll probably get it. I think there has to be a lot of behavioral changes in our society before we get this stuff. I think there's a whole bunch of things going on that aren't quite right, and unless we find a way to get ourselves as a society to do better and help more people in a better way, we may not get this stuff until the next generation. Who knows?
That's just my a break here in a minute. When we come back, I'd like to talk about your work in fuel-efficient carburetor systems. You were going around teaching some classes, helping people convert their vehicles to have a more efficient carburetor system. And you were also involved in the Keith technology, Paul Pantone's, and also involved in Dennis Lee's work. Let's go into that, some of the fuel efficiency technologies that you've dabbled in and are still involved in.
Well, the one after break?
Yeah, we'll hit that after the break.
Okay. You want me to talk about them blowing up my car?
Yep.
Okay.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Hi, my name is Kelly Lambert, management consultant. I have 30 years of corporate experience. I know how to make businesses run. Allow me to spend a day with you at your business so that I may offer you a complimentary evaluation. I'll show you how to improve communications and task delegation, as well as how to grow your business from within. Call me today for your free evaluation. 623-692-8877. That's 623-692-8877. I know how to make businesses run. To receive your complimentary evaluation, call today, 623-692-8877.
Revitalize your mind and spirit at Elite Laser and Spa. with an eclectic menu of services such as facials, peels, laser hair removal, electrolysis, injectables, and a full menu of spa and salon services. You are sure to find just what you need. Take a free swim or steam room before enjoying one of Elite's current specials. Massage and facial duo offered at only $90. Laser bikini and underarms for $125 and much, much more. Call 480-325-7889. Visit the spa in Chandler, on Gilbert and Highway 202, or in Phoenix, on Cactus and 32nd Street. Call today and journey towards a new you. 480-325-7889 or book online at EliteLaserAndSpa.com.
Free energy now!
Sterling Allen coming back at you. I'm up in Eagle Mountain, Utah. We're talking tonight to Welton Myers, who's hanging out in the St. George, Utah area presently. He's been all over the country and all over the map on renewable, clean energy, free energy technologies. We were talking in the last segment about how he was working with some John Searle technology that just about took off through the roof of their lab and where that's at today, that technology. And now, in this segment, we want to talk about some of his carburetor clean fuel technology effort that he's been involved in. Let's go back again. You said about 50 years ago you started getting involved in a triple your mileage technology. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, we were holding seminars at Robert Westman College in near Rochester, New York, and each weekend we would have large numbers of people. We'd give them a blueprint on how to vaporize the gasoline primarily at that time. Cars weren't as modern as they are today. They weren't as complicated. All we did is have to heat up the fuel and turn it into vapor. That's the trouble with cars today. 60% of the fuel burns in the catalytic converter. The catalytic converter cracks and breaks down the fuel after the horsepower gets out of the engine. It has to be done prior, so you have to preheat it and vaporize it, and today you have to do many other things, which we call thermal catalytic cracking. And you have to stabilize it, and you have to do other things. There is no one answer to all the problems that we face with modern automobiles. But at that time, we were just vaporizing, and we put on these seminars, and at our last seminar, two guys showed up that I thought they were the best students I ever had. We had about 200 every weekend, and we showed them the picture. We showed them slideshows. We gave them a manual. We gave them a blueprint. We picked up the hood, showed them where everything had to be. And these guys, two guys, had all the answers to the questions that I raised in the book. And after the seminar, we closed up the hood, and I'm packing up to go, and they said, "Hey, we'd like to finance this thing. We know you can make this into the marketplace." And I said, "I don't think so. I've heard of my friends that disappeared. Old Tom Ogle died, and many others that I had known. And they were all doing a similar type thing." Well, anyways, we packed up, and he said, "We'll buy lunch." So I said, "Okay, I have nothing like a free lunch." So we went to the dinner at our restaurant, and here we are eating, you know, talking the orders, and we're talking away. And finally, one of the guys said, "Oh, I don't feel so good. I got to go to the job." He was gone about a half hour, and I keep talking with this other guy and telling him, "No, we probably can't do this." And he said, "Oh, yes, we're going to get you the funds." And his buddy came back and says, "Oh, I got to go. I feel worse." And they said, we all headed towards the door. They went to their car and went one direction. I went to my car. I got there, and I noticed the hood was up, and I just figured that I didn't push it down hard. It was on safety latch. I must have hurried away thinking I was going to get rich here. And I pushed the hood down, went down the road a few miles, and suddenly I heard a great big cracking noise. And I jumped out, pulled over and jumped out, and just so I walked towards the front, and the explosion took place, which completely burned out the whole car. Now, I did an autopsy on the car afterwards to find out what happened. I won't tell you about what happened in the middle of the road when the firemen came, but that's another story for another day. But anyways, what happened is I got home and dissected and found out that I had built this because once you vaporize the gasoline, it becomes a little low in BTU. You have to have a pressurized tank that has extra fuel in it, so when you want to go up a hill or accelerate, you need more fuel. Now, it's under pressure automatically, because when you heat it, it's amazing how much pressure you get in the tank. In fact, we found we split our first tank. It, actually, the first tank had relief valves on it, and it blows the stems of the relief valves right up through, not the relief valves, but the turn-on valves. And so we had to put a relief valve on it so we could regulate the pressure. But what had happened is I showed these guys how to kill me, how to, because you have to regulate that relief valve so you don't get too much pressure in that pressure tank. And what had happened, they turned it down, right, down tight, so it was just like no relief valve at all. What I had heard was a cracking of the tank, which the good Lord got me out of the car quick enough so I didn't get fried. And so I never saw these guys again either. They didn't come back and, like they promised, to help me have all the funds to get this off the ground. But we've been working on various things ever since, and our more modern one is more complicated because the cars are more complicated. You have to deal with thermocatalytic cracking, which is another process besides just vaporization, and you break it down into its molecular smaller chains. Most fuel is such a long hydrocarbon chain that it will not vaporize in the engine. It 60% goes out the tailpipe. You want it to all burn in the engine, so you have to turn it into a propane. When you break the chain, it's of the hydrocarbon that immediately needs to be stabilized, so we make hydroxy gas, which is a very loosely bonded hydrogen and oxygen. The hydrogen will bond onto the propane. It's satisfying the bond, so you now have driving a propane car, and that way you can double or triple your mileage just by the thermocatalytic cracking. We have devices like that are for sale now that are available. They still aren't totally perfected. I think the people that buy them need to recognize that we're still in the second generation or third generation of production, and just like the old airplanes, they got to get better as we go along. So that one's on the market, again, there's many people that are doing it from other perspectives. Most of them don't recognize. You also have to interface a computer, because a computer in every car is designed to work with a catalytic converter, which doesn't give you efficiency. It works against efficiency, which means that you need to have an interface on the computer, or some other kind of computer, or reprogram the computer. So having a way to crack the gasoline and stabilize it, and then having a computer control so that your computer doesn't work against you, are all part of the total picture if you want to have a device that... And there's many wonderful guys that are out there working on HydroBoost and a whole bunch of them out there that should be given credit, because what they're working on is good. They may have to look at a little broader spectrum of pieces to put together to have all the aspects there. And, of course, someday we hope to run a car 100% on water, which may not be too far away.
Tell us about your work with GEET.
With GEET, I worked with Paul Plantone, which is a little bit different approach, because we're talking about working on the molecular level to break down a long-chain hydrocarbon. Now, Paul had a device which would heat up, but it also went right in the middle of the device was a rod, and that rod was a very unique catalyst, which would, in fact, we couldn't really measure with a Gauss meter how strong it wasn't really a magnetic field, I don't believe. However, the rod itself would become a magnetic, and you could find the poles on it, and that you need to do and cut it the right length so the north and south pole are at the end of the rods instead of partway down the rod, the way it's developed. But the real thing that was happening in the GEET is it creates some other kind of energy field around it, which cracks it even further beyond what we're talking about, because that GEET, if it's proper, and it, now there's a modified GEET that another company has promoted that isn't quite ready for the marketplace. That particular unit goes to 8 to 9 times the mileage. It's called a PIC, but it is a modified GEET that's improved it greatly today by a different company. And that is still under test.
Go ahead.
It's still under test, and until the bugs are out of it, it won't come out because EPA does not even want to test it. They refuse to test it, and because what we do is we take off the catalytic converter. The PIC is a pre-ignition catalytic converter. Remember I said before, the catalytic converter is on the wrong end of the car. You're locking the door after the horsepower gets out of the engine. You need to do it prior, so pre-ignition means you catalyze, brake down the fuel before it gets into the ignition. And to do that, the other system, the hydro-assist fuel cell, which is now on the marketplace, will get 50% to 100% improvement, and that's good, but we believe we can reach eventually with the other devices 100%, go 100% water.
When we come back from break, I'd like to talk about your tire vaporization technology that you've worked on over the years and are still working on. You and I actually took this to various municipalities down in the San Pete County area in Utah to get them interested in it. We'll talk about that.
Live streaming audio on demand, 24 hours a day. Log on now at 1100kfnx.com. kfnx.com.
CNN Radio, I'm Greg Black. The families of two American journalists sentenced to 12 years in a North Korean prison are pleading for their release. HDNet's Dan Rather has covered North Korea in the past. He believes the prison sentences are little more than a political ploy.
One can be hopeful that they will be released because the pattern in the past has been that if the North Koreans can get some engagement from the U.S. government, then they'll begin to negotiate about the release of these two. Let's hope that works out this time as well.
U.S. Supreme Court putting Chrysler's bankruptcy plans on hold. Several bondholders are challenging the company's plan to sell off most of its assets to Italian automaker Fiat. Tomorrow could be the beginning of a new debate on health care. Congressional Democrats are expected to release details of their health care reform plan. Three French women are getting ready to try to cross the Atlantic Ocean on paddle boards. If they make it, they would be the very first. This is CNN Radio.
Almost unheard of weather as we approach mid-June. We keep it in the low 90s for the next 2 to 3 days, with maybe even some clouds and sprinkles north and east of town. 95 by Friday, and then we gradually approach the century mark over the weekend. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently, in downtown Phoenix, it's 86 degrees.
This year, more than 186,000 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. Worse yet, in the time it takes to play 9 innings, prostate cancer kills 9 men. This Father's Day week, team up with Major League Baseball and the Prostate Cancer Foundation to keep Dad in the game. Call 800-798-CURE and be part of the Prostate Cancer Foundation's Home Run Challenge. Again, 800-798-CURE. Make a pledge. Make a difference.
Do you owe back taxes, being audited? Whatever your tax-related problem, the former IRS agents and tax professionals at Taxmasters can help solve your tax problems today. Call 1-866-694-4020 or go to txmstr.com. Taxmasters will get between you and the IRS. They'll make sure they treat you fairly and treat you with respect. Call Taxmasters right now at 866-694-4020 or go to txmstr.com. Taxmasters will solve your tax problems.
It doesn't take a crystal ball to predict that the hottest luxury cruise trend this year is getting the best possible bargain. At Scottsdale Luxury Cruises, you'll get more than just a bargain. You'll get that extra special deal on the most popular cruise destinations, including Mexico and Hawaii. The difference between the other guys and a Scottsdale Luxury Cruise is that our wisdom and experience guarantees you the lowest possible price. Call today, 602-494-1200. That's 602-494-1200.
energy now.
We really want to change the world today.
Eagle Mountain, Utah.
We'll always take donations, that's for sure. Or some hard work volunteering. Give a little and you get back more. You know the future's looking brighter. We just want to help the world today.
Free energy now.
We really want to change the world.
That's
the toll-free call-in number if you're listening live, 866-536-1100. Sterling Allen here, your host. We're talking tonight with Welton Myers. He's a former associate, friend, and I call him the grandfather, a grandfather of the free energy movement. He got me going 8 years ago. He's been at it 50 years or so. At Free Energy, anyway, he was doing a lot of other things before that, still active and very involved. We said that in this next segment we would talk about some of the work that he's done in waste to energy and tire vaporization. Let's start with tire vaporization.
Yeah, well, certainly you and I went up there in the Stampede Valley talking about that. It wasn't quite right, that was a prototype that we had used to vaporize tires without any gas emission. It was developed by a friend of mine and myself up in Idaho. We ran the unit in Boise for a year, and the emissions that came out of the stack were one-tenth of the EPA standard, which means that the emissions were about as good as natural gas. A tire gasification system works in a two-stage process. First, you gasify, turn the tires into black smoke or gas, which in a closed system, the gas is extracted at very low temperatures, around 400 or 500 degrees, and it leaves only the thing that's left is the steel belting and a little bit of carbon ash. The gas goes into the secondary chamber, and we preheat it at 1,400 degrees. As soon as it starts to burn, we can be regulated to burn from 2,500 to 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That is enough to turn any water into steam. We have invented a better steam boiler that is more efficient and does not require the safety features of a real boiler system. We call it a steam generator. That goes with it, and that steam now drives a turbine and generator system that we're actually developing a better turbine that is more efficient. It's not quite the Tesla turbine, but that one's too hard to make at this time, so we developed another system that is probably cheaper and equally effective to the very most select steam turbines that are made out by some of the top companies in the nation. But we haven't got it under production line yet. We got the prototypes that we talked about that proves the concept. We've had a lot of trouble getting funding because everybody wants to see all the pieces together and something working over long term, and we've never had quite the funds to do that. We have finished our business plan. We are looking for funders to join in limited partnerships or joint ventures or various ways that we have a business plan available under Alternate Energy Systems, Inc. And we're helping to have joint ventures work with us through these limited partners and limited liability, so people can work with us with no liability whatsoever. And so we believe that we can also perfect this to a higher degree because we know we can dry sewage and use a dry sewage which has immense BTUs once it's dried. We dry that with another invention that another friend of mine developed, which runs it through a vortice that will extract all of the moisture and at the same time sanitize it. So the water that comes off, it's pure. And actually, the sewage really should be best used in better organic farming. We need complete and organic food which is another project we're working on. But so I would rather use sewage in that purpose, but there's lots of plastics that are filling the dumps. And the problem with plastic, there is more chemical things involved, and we haven't had a chance to test yet to see what kind of emissions we might get, or what we may even have to put scrubbers on to handle plastic so on the stack so we don't get that emission. So that's down the road, but we are ready to go pretty much. We got the prototype done. We believe we have promises of funding, but it's not here yet. Unfortunately, many people had put large money of funding in some of our banking system, and because of the banking collapse, they're having trouble getting their money back out, so their commitments are verbal until they can know they can get their money back out of the bank. If you have little amounts of money, you know, less than $100,000, you can probably get most of your money out quickly, but when you have big amounts, they hang on to it to make sure their reserves are satisfying the need so they aren't kicked out of business. So they hang on to somebody else's money just to balance their own budget. But
yeah,
anyway,
tire vaporization, do you have to chop the tires into smaller pieces or can you put them in whole?
So we work at whole. In fact, we used to have a back feeder. Now we have an automatic feed system. I think I told you about wanting to do that before. And now we set up a sort of a railroad track that goes through an air chamber. We load up this little tire basket that runs down the track, and we get two or three of them full, and we push one in through the air chamber, then into the vaporizer. We have two or three of them in the vaporizer, one behind the other. As they get to the far end, it gets hotter, so the last end will burn off any carbon that might still not be released, and then it goes into an air chamber. The track continues out the other side, and it's about as big as a tractor trailer and about 8 or 10 feet wide. It might hang over a little bit, but they're transportable. Our plan is to take them to industrial parks and sell directly to as co-generating joint ventures with various industrial people to take them, let them have much lower cost electricity. Of course, we get paid for the tires, and that helps keep our fuel costs way below anything else. And that also means that our electricity costs can be a lot lower. So we can sell to our joint venture people much lower than what the grid would sell them. In fact, you know, the grid has a real nasty habit of having a ratchet on your meter, which means that as you start up your factory in the morning, you get a peak load, you're going to pay that same price all day, even though all day you may use a lot less electricity. And they say, oh, we got to do that because you want that much in the morning, you got to pretend you use that much all day. So we'll let them have a meter without a ratchet and just pay for what they get, and they don't have to pay for that surplus electricity that they never use. So that's one of the ways we feel that we can get industrial people to sit down and do a joint venture with us and help get this thing going, because this also is very pure. Like we said earlier, we had an environmental engineer on it. Unfortunately, the work we did in Boise has been lost because the engineer died, and his estate would not release the test data. But it'll do it again. We don't have any. We know it'll perform. We've talked with some of the people in Utah, solid waste and air pure airs, and we know what we have to do. So when we get a fully, we do have a test unit that was done up in Enterprise, Utah, got permitted a few years back. It was a similar device, and that one. Of course, now they've changed some of the regs since that time, so we may still have to, they want us to be bigger and more tires, and we are. Each one of our units will burn probably 100,000 tires a year easily, and that meets the minimum requirements to be a recycler. So that way we can also get payments for recycling as well as payments for taking the tires away as well as income from the electricity. Again, we're not trying to be greedy. We want to clean up the air and reduce our reliance on other fossil fuels. And, of course, that someday we have to hope to combine this with the hydroxy gas so that it'll be even more efficient. And at some point, if we run out of tires, we can run that all totally for commercial use on all water again. That would be nice.
Let's talk for a second about how this tire vaporization ties into the waste to energy. You talk about sewage processing. Is this a similar process, or is it a separate technology?
Well, we just feed it in. The separate technology is separating the water out before it gets into the vaporizer. But then that dried sewage can just be fed in right with the tires, and it'll gasify right with the tires.
Huh. Let's talk for a second about that vortex technology that separates out the water. That's a developed technology by Enzyntech.
It was similar to that. Enzyntech never had the separator on it. All Enzyntech did was transport it, which is a good technology, but there was never Enzyntech's technology. Brian Cabilly Lovejoy. Billy Lovejoy gave it to many people. Mike Rigby was given the right to use it up there in Payson. And he's the one that's developed it to separation. There's another fellow by Conrad over in Colorado has developed it to separation. Neither one of them recognized that it creates this electrical charge in it as it goes through the vortices, which where does the energy come from? We opened the vortices, hadn't we? We got electricity from somewhere that actually sanitizes the water by killing all the pathogens. So you can actually take the water out and reuse it for drinking water, if you've got enough courage.
You get sewage in and drinking water out.
Right. Well, that technology has many uses. It can be used to reduce the cost of coal mining. Of course, our goal is not to use any coal or not to use any gasoline or oils, or because they all have a problem. I think all those things would be great to make plastics out of, and maybe some other things we haven't invented yet. But to use those to cause, I'm not too worried about global warming. I think that's coming no matter what. But I do know that whenever you combine oxygen and lock it into carbon, there's less oxygen in the air for you and I to breathe. And that's causing us to have all kinds of diseases for lack of oxygen.
We've got one more segment. In this next segment, let's talk about some of your dome home and community types of concepts that you're pursuing, the rammed earth, kind of the that genre of stuff. Okay?
Okay, and we'll talk about our grow dome.
Yep.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Get Wealthy Arizona every Wednesday from 3 to 4. Learn how to eliminate market risk from your retirement accounts by listening to Get Wealthy Arizona, brought to you by EquityForProfit.com, every Wednesday from 3 to 4 on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Arizona Together, Arizona's good news newspaper since 1991, was created to serve the community, providing information to help people enhance their lives in relationships, careers, finances, spirituality, and their own recovery. Arizona Together is solution-oriented and the resource for those interested in a better life today. To showcase your business and for subscription information, visit ArizonaTogether.com or call 480-767-7880. That's Arizona Together, 480-767-7880.
I really wanted to stop using drugs.
I tried to quit.
I
kept trying to quit, but it was just a matter of time before I'd be loaded again.
I felt like a hopeless, useless failure.
And then I picked up the phone.
Narcotics Anonymous, 24-hour helpline, 480-897-4636.
I was at the end of the road.
You know where I couldn't keep living with drugs?
I couldn't keep living with drugs.
And I thought I couldn't keep living without them.
Then I found N.A.
Narcotics Anonymous, 24-hour helpline, 480-897-4636, or visit us online at arizona-na.org.
Log on and listen to Imus in the Morning.
Imus in the Morning.
Only on 1100KFNX.com.
Log on and listen live.
Start your day right. Don't miss Imus in the Morning right here on KFNX. Free energy now.
Sterling Allen coming at back at you. We're talking this evening to Welton Myers. He's a associate friend and the guy who got me going 8 years ago in free energy. He's been at it for some 50 years. We've talked about electromagnetic motors that took off the bench top, anti-gravity effects. We talked about cars that improved their mileage by threefold and interesting things that happened with that. We talked about tire vaporization and waste-to-energy things. And now, in this last segment, let's talk about some grow domes and other communal types of concepts you've been working on over the years and are still working on.
Well, I can't take a lot of credit for the monolithic dome. That was done by a great group of guys down in Texas that created the Monolithic Dome Institute, which I believe has inspired me to look at a different way of doing it, which may be cheaper and better. But basically, we've taken a look at these monolithic domes to make them complete ecosystems by having greenhouses within them, which will recycle all the air, all the water, and give you all the food and fish you need, because we have fish tanks and worm farms and things in the basement, as well as the growing facilities. So not only is it a home that will withstand any environmental changes, it'll take on winds up to 400 miles an hour. It'll take, you can almost have an earthquake next to it. It won't shake it. You'd have to get it in a lava flow probably to destroy it. And I hope we're not all going to end up in a lava flow. But anyways, we're developing these homes to make communities that will be living more in harmony with nature and more in harmony with each other, hopefully having no poor among them, and people that will be spending their time taking care of each other. Now, in the meantime, we've also developed some grow domes, which the grow domes are designed to be about 5 acres of growing space, and going back to organic farming even beyond what most organic farmers do. Now, the organic farmers is much better than using petrochemical fertilizers or herbicides and pesticides, which kill the soil bugs. They kill the worms. They kill our friendly critters that our Creator gave us to make us all live healthy. In other words, what I'm trying to say is you can't eat rocks, and neither can plants. Plants have to get their food, their minerals, through the friendly critters, through the worms, through the bacteria. It has to be turned into an organic system that the plant can assimilate in order to make it available to you. Now, your body has some 80 minerals that need to be healthy, and in the commercial fertilizers, you get all of three. They kill the soil, so you don't get any of the things that might be in that soil. So to make it back to living soils, that's the name of another company we're forming. We may have to change it now because someone might steal the name, and that's okay. We'll think of another name of how to live in complete organic farming. And so we can test the soil to make sure we have all the elements your body needs. So the food has all the elements your body needs. Our real sickness is caused by lack of nutrition created by poor farming. What they taught me at Cornell was okay for the time, maybe. I'm not pointing my finger and say they're bad boys there. But I do know I went back to Cornell many times telling them that I think we could do better with organic farming. After many years, they formed the Department of Sustainable Agriculture. Dr. Pimentel down there just came out with a report that said after the second year of sustainable agriculture, what they call it. Now, guess what? It's cheaper and more cost-effective to grow food by organic farming. And, of course, if they take that one step further to remineralize the soil and bring it so we have real healthy food, of course, now we can, unfortunately, an apple a day doesn't always make the doctor go away unless it's complete.
What about rammed earth?
The old worms are very important. See, the worms are such a beautiful animal. I know we don't like to take them to bed with us or anything, and most people don't like to eat them, but when we're doing our, we have another product we call refuse conversion agriculture, where we take the sewage and all garbage and convert it by growing, a growing process, because mulching is not the best way. Actually, mulching of waste turns into carbon that goes off in the air, and again, it ties into oxygen and reduces the amount of oxygen available in the air. So I believe composting is not the correct way to go. It's better to turn all, when you do refuse conversion agriculture, we capture all the carbon. All the carbon combines to grow more products that are now usable. We call it thirsty dirt. Now, the thirsty dirt reconditions the soil. It restructures the soil. It gives a tilt back to the soil so that the root zone is now aerable. So you got to have air in the roots as well as water and minerals. It can't be over wet or the roots die, the plant dies. So having your tilt of the soil rebuilt is vital to having good agriculture. So that's what their thirsty dirt does. So we have another product of the worms themselves. Besides, the thirsty dirt is so much better than compost because, firstly, it don't gas off any carbon. It all goes into the worms and into the soil. Now, the worms we feed to the animals, the livestock, because they're very high protein. You don't need to have any of this blood meal or stuff from the slaughterhouse. We don't have to have any worry about mad cow disease. But we also have a high lysium content to the protein that stimulates growth without using steroids. So it's a great supplement for turkeys, pigs, chickens, cows. And so we have another product to sell along with that. That particular corporation is called Refuge Conversion Agriculture. It's incorporated. It comes out of New York State. My friend Mark Gogowski is the head of that. He's worked many, many years to develop this technology. Some of his patents have finally run out, but he's still plugging along, and we'd like to bring this to the West also to get into landfills to take over the garbage and to take over the sewage waste so we can convert that into better products. Now, a third product that comes out of refuse conversion agriculture is called Lipolor. It's a trademarked product which will sprinkle on the oil field. It sucks up the oil real quick. You can vacuum it up. You can squeeze the Lipolor and get the oil back out. So we ought to be able to sell that to the oil companies that, of course, I don't believe they're going to leave this planet for a while. We don't, you know, if it did happen overnight, we might have a real economic problem if the oil companies all disappeared. So we're not asking them to go away. We're just asking them to start using their stuff to make good plastic. And, of course, also let us run agriculture without petroleum-based products that kill herbicides, pesticides, and chemical fertilizers that destroy our agriculture to the way that makes everybody sick because of lack of nutrition.
Now, before we let you go, let's make sure that we have give people a way to contact you. I should mention that again that we have got a feature page on you at Pez Wiki. Let's make sure people know how to spell your last name. Welton is Welton. Myers is Myers, not M-E-Y. It's, the correct spelling is Myers for Welton,
yeah.
Myers.
Yeah, I'd like to claim I'm a brother to Stanley Myers, M-E-Y-E-R, but I'm not. I love him, but he's not. And he is my brother in the spirit, of course, but even in the dimension he's in now. But so you're right. That's how you spell it. And as long as you don't call me late for dinner, I don't care how you spell it.
And then your email address, hydrofuelcell@hotmail.com.
Right.
Again, that's hydro, like water hydro fuel.
Yeah, H-Y-D-R-O, fuel, F-U-E-L, I think. Is that right? C-E-L-L.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I spelled it right, didn't I?
Right.
Hydro fuel cell. And I will answer your email, and if you're interested in investing in agriculture, recipes conversion agriculture, or we call our gasifying tires our GPP, gasifying power plants, these little units, and if you're interested in having something at your factory, you want a joint venture, give us a call, an email, that is, and we'll sit down and we'll bring you a business plan and show you how you can make a good return up to 30% on your investment if you're not going to use it. But if you're going to, we're trying to utilize both the heat and the electricity because most power plants waste their heat. They have to, they just, there's no place to use it. There's no cogeneration. So we want a cogenerator wherever we can. Use the heat the buildings or the greenhouses. We're going to use them on every greenhouse. Every grow dome will have a gasifying power plant. And, of course, we plan on putting hydroxy with it.
As you can tell, we just got started. Lots more to say. I appreciate being able to run through all this with Welton Myers. Thank you.
You've been listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.
KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
News, weather, and traffic.
Cave Creek, Phoenix. A division of Premier Radio Stations, LLC.
CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers. Two American journalists are each sentenced to 12 years of hard labor in a closed-door trial in North Korea. North Korean expert Bonnie Glaser says the U.S. State Department is working on getting the women free.
I think it remains to be seen whether North Korea is interested in bargaining, and I certainly think that the Obama administration will find ways to probe whether North Korea is interested in bargaining.
Experts say North Korea might accept a cash payment for the women. Relations between the U.S. and Cuba appear to be thawing a bit. Florida Congresswoman Ileana Ross Leitanen says it's up to Havana to keep the process going.
What has to change in Cuba is the tyranny, the dictatorship, not U.S. policy. We are not to blame for the ills of the communist dictatorship in the island of Cuba.
The U.S. trade embargo on Cuba is entering its 50th year. President Obama Monday introduced the next phase of his economic stimulus plan.
Republican leaders are getting louder, questioning whether the $787 billion in stimulus money is doing anything. To that, President Obama points to job numbers that are getting less gloomy.
That's a sign that we're moving in the right direction.
But is that because of the stimulus? President Obama says the money is starting to flow faster, and he's now pushing for even speedier spending this summer, announcing he wants to save or create 600,000 jobs in the next 3 months or so, pumping out school, military, and health care projects.
I'm not satisfied. We've got more work to do.
Lisa Desjardins, CNN, Washington.
A merger deal between Chrysler and Fiat is on hold. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg temporarily blocked the deal from going through. Chrysler's creditors want more time to negotiate themselves a better payback. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
Right now, the Home Depot has a Ryobi One Plus starter kit for just $89. Save $20 and get an 18-volt cordless drill, circular saw, two rechargeable batteries, a one-hour charger, and a bag to keep it all in. Holes will be drilled and boards will be cut with a Ryobi One Plus starter kit for just $89. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only through June 22nd while supplies last. See store for details.
And now for the bonus round. John's uncle's cousin's mother's friend is what relation to John?
Curmudgeon.
Correct. How many ounces are in an anagram?
8.26.
Correct. How much do Netflix members pay in late fees?
Nothing!
Correct! Netflix. Choose your movies online and have DVDs delivered in about one business day. No late fees ever. Start your free trial today. Netflix.
See terms of use.
Almost unheard of weather as we approach mid-June. We keep it in the low 90s.